Ken is on a troll fest tonight, guys.
Welcome.
At some point, he'll apologize.
Red, red.
he's got to get the ass out
Phil
first.
Andrea, Daniel Drizzle, and Ken. Music by all lowercase letters. And Mr. Interrupt, our Patreon once again. Thank you, Tim Roberts, Daniel Holker, Nostalgic, and Natalia Klein for being.
Natalia
thank
Klein.
You for. Being helping us go. Also, art and media production by Couch Fire Media, and story and books and shit. All that stuff that we're talking about is inspired by Twa Reblay Productions, including the Red Rit.
The Red Rit.
The Rit.
So,
yeah, we're
as
back.
We continue,
we have.
Into the.
Basically updated Holker on what's going on. Holker, have you been updated? Are you updated? Do you stand updated, sir?
I am up to date.
Real quick, could you describe your character?
My character is Tony Terniak. He is a former aspiring priest, although that did not work out. Upon leaving the seminary and training roles for which he was trying to be a priest, he got a job as a border guard. Because it's not like he had anything on his record. Tony doesn't have many hobbies aside from a newfound fascination with the occult. He thinks his current situation will raise some questions at his next shift.
Holker, who's our sponsor tonight?
We're sponsored by happiness.
That's about right. Indeed. Indeed we are. Right. Yeah, where we left... Simon has picked up Mariah quickly and taken off down towards the beach. You guys are on this bluff to your south. You have the stone path that leads back to the frozen pool and the sunken temple. To your north, you have the path that Simon just ran down towards the beach and the gas-powered boats that could potentially take you across the now freezing, ever more freezing. There's English in there. The strait that is almost frozen shut. to your west, down the bluff, 20, 30 feet, you have Onis, this mage of sorts. She, as we're calling her, is constantly shifting between visages. It's difficult to tell. Is she a she? She becomes a woman and a man and something in between and a beast and a monster and then something completely... none of those things. Before your eyes. She is luminescent. Although right now, she's shown this incredible darkness. The trees are groaning under the weight of it. It's wrapping around them like tentacles. And within the depths of that darkness... You see distant, gleaming red eyes that are reminiscent of the creatures. There's an entire landscape bathed in darkness behind her. Within the shadow of her essence, as though you're peering into another place that isn't where you are. A mind-bending thing. Does anyone else drop cunning?
I do not, but I do have one question.
Yep.
When the strait becomes frozen over, does it become a gay?
Does it become a what?
Does it become a gay?
A gay?
If yeah, it's when the strait
frozen...
becomes frozen over, does it become a gay?
I don't get it.
I don't know.
I don't get it. Do you mean like it's not straight anymore? Wait, what?
Yeah.
All right, you're gonna.
I don't know.
The action's on you. What the fuck do you mean?
Admittedly, you're looking for logic where there really isn't any. I had a thought in my head and I said it out loud.
It means
probably not the most rational.
The straight prefers the company of other bodies of water.
Yeah.
That's true, yes.
Does it become a gay? But it's still a straight.
It could become quite the peninsula.
Oh my god. I hate everyone. I hate you all. Yes, the straight in fact becomes gay. That's what happens when it freezes. And you don't drop cutting. Great.
No,
does anyone
have any two drop? So.
Oh, good.
I dropped some cunning. Because
yep.
Why not?
All right, the action's on you. You drop cunning. Cunning means you get to go before the antagonist, or the antagonist can be good or bad.
Mm-hmm. I will rush towards Tony and start trying to pull him away from her. Them.
Yep.
Them. They.
Very quickly, you light on your feet, grab a hold of Tony. Tony, you've been kind of out of it. It's like you suddenly woke up from a dream, like in the middle of REM sleep.
It's like I died and went to Detroit.
It's like you died and went to Detroit, and you're somehow in the woods being led by this woman who it seemed like you traveled for a long time. There's a familiarity you have with this woman. You've had conversations with her. You've had meals with her. But it's all blurry. It's like an ancient memory. And as you sit here thinking on it, like a dream, it's harder and harder to grasp what actually happened. You just know it was an interesting dream. As Nord grabs a hold of you, shaking you from this reverie, and you are awake, and you're fine. Last thing you remember here was the trees fell, it hurt, and then basically Nord just appeared before you and is grabbing you. Are you resisting?
Can I see Nord?
Yeah, he's right there. Oh, actually, no, he's fucking invisible.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Never mind. Oh, wait. What do you bid?
Me?
Yes, you. I'm looking at you. Can't you tell?
Oh, of course. What do I bid to what?
To see Nord.
I will bid. Look the other way.
Nord, what was the threshold to make your invisibility juice? Do you remember? I think it was 4. I can't quite remember.
3 or 4.
All right, we're gonna call it. Okay. Tony, go ahead and throw down. You need that many successes to be able to use your new eyes to see through this invisibility.
All right.
So your action die and your wits.
That's 2 successes.
I hear that dice tower. Do you do anything to add to it or not?
I don't have much left because, you know, I'm nearly dead, so no.
Okay. as for a moment, a brief second, you heard Nord's voice, you turned, and you could have sworn he was right there, but instead you just feel something grabbing your arm, and it is apparently a ghost. By the way, the chat has asked Hulker to do the tonight's sponsor once more, please. Who's our sponsor tonight, Hulker?
Tonight's sponsor is happiness.
In all of its gaiety, Andrea.
Oh my god.
Indeed. So since you have not dropped cunning, you can't go yet. Nord, what are you doing? But dude, you're cunning. You're the action's on you, man.
I'm trying to pull Tony away from this entity.
And what have you bid to do this?
I bid my my brawn?
Bid aspects.
I know that. I will bid, we'll call it, Gleaming the Cube.
I'm going to need an explanation.
When you gleam the cube, it means you put extra effort in. It means you go tippy-top. You do the most that you possibly can. It's like...
Is that a real thing?
Point Break. It is a real bad 80s movie
the cube.
Yeah.
Gleaming, as in G-L-E-A-M?
Yeah, gleaming the cube. It's a skater term. Yo.
What? What does it mean? I was a skater and I don't remember.
When you gleam the cube, it means you put your all in.
Okay. Yeah. As you
it specifically means have you ever gleamed inside the cube? It's pushing your limits to the edge. Basically,
as you nearly rip his arm off, yanking him down the path,
Tony,
towards Simon. As you guys
now,
are a good
now,
medium
Tony,
distance
we gotta
away.
Go. Gotta
whoa,
go.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What? Where are you?
Right in front of you. I'm pulling on your arm.
You're not gonna hug me, are you?
No, I'm just yanking you.
Fine. I'd have you point the way, but that's not really possible right now.
Go with it. Just go with it, buddy. We've been here before.
All right. As Leah is the only one left up there, the antagonist goes. Leah, the rest of you just see it get dark. Darker on the hill than it was before. The light is this ultraviolet and shadowy movement. Leah, you see Onis in this transformed state as she continues. I was once the high priestess of the Dark Dreamer. As this occurs, and you hear the sounds from within this cloak of darkness behind her. Otherworldly, like weird wildlife sounds you've never heard. Odd smells of like cinnamon and weird vegetation, completely alien. You may make a sanity roll.
Man.
Oh, man.
But I'm already insane. Probably.
Threshold is 3.
That'd be a 0.
So. You didn't roll 2 ones, did you?
No.
That's good.
But also, right. My mind die is not really great anyway.
You do anything to improve that?
Actually, I might. Yeah. How many abilities can you activate per turn?
2.
2. Okay, good, good. I like that.
Two abilities and two ninja gear. Because you guys are tier two.
So I'm going to bid scene shit to activate turmoil and philosophy, which gives me two successes.
Yep.
And then I'm going to I'm going to bid echo to activate counterpoint, which gives me another success.
All right. So you're at limbo at three. Yep.
Yes.
Way, way better. As you see this, you realize you are looking into another realm. You're looking through, somehow you know this, you're looking through this between, this place, the between, into a realm of darkness. As you say the words, you mouth them. You note that Onus also mouths this word, the gloaming. The darkness starts to die down as that image fades, and once again Onus slowly but surely begins to change like a waxing moon. There are many paths one can take. Mine was assured until I met the second queen of Earth. As all the rest of you have run away for the lore drop.
Run away!
You can better throw down to hear the echoey voice of Onus. It's up to you. Regardless, if you do, go ahead. You need one success.
I'll bid. Where am I rolling? Mind?
Wits.
Oh, wits. Okay.
Salve for balm for the wound, Simon. What you did was likely very good for Mariah. She did not need to lose more sanity.
It was to protect her.
Yeah. You, in fact, accomplished that in spades, because she's about to go nuts.
I got snake eyes.
Oh, snake eyes?
No successes.
Yeah, you have a little tinnitus. In fact, since that is, if you got snake eyes, that's actually a critical fail. It's an utter failure. You have a little tinnitus, Nord's voice. Every so often, you wonder, is Nord talking to you? You can't really be sure. And that'll last for at least a few minutes. My path, Onus continues, was assured until I met Erish Kagel. Leah, you got limbo. You are the yes, but situation is this. You don't lose sanity. You don't gain flaws. The butt situation is somehow Onus is kind of in your mind. It's a tickling feeling. Perhaps you felt it with the interrogation training you did. And as she speaks, you find yourself kind of mouthing certain words as you're seeing, in a way, what she says. Erish Kagel, the Queen of Heaven, the Queen of the Great Earth. And you realize Onus is in love with Erish Kagel. Action's on you guys. Play your turn.
But I thought she was the queen of the underworld.
Oh, yes.
So she's both?
Onus looks at you. She should be.
What?
Remember, you guys have bids, and the action is on you.
I'm gonna take this.
Oh. We actually. Go ahead.
I'd like to take this opportunity to start dragging Tony, who, in Nord's, my very own opinion, has now been blessed by maybe good, maybe evil. You know, we're just gonna see where it goes. Maybe a little chaotic. I would like to bid I don't have it. I would like to bid something like chameleon, maybe, and this could work, and to pulling Tony back to where Nord believes that porthole that Lady Callie escaped.
Oh, so you're not going to the beach?
I thought that was no, I'm going the other way, going towards towards the lake.
So you're not going towards Simon, you're going toward the lake. That's the opposite direction.
Yeah, I'm going towards the lake.
Okay, yeah, you're going down the stony path towards the lake. Yeah, as you're bidding chameleon.
Yeah, it's basically to shift Tony's brain into thinking that we should go this way. I don't know if that helps.
That's rough. You have to make it work.
It doesn't really work.
You just got to convince. What do you say?
I got this book, and I think if you look at it, maybe you could read it to Lady Callie.
Whoa, really? Where'd you get it?
I found it in the hut. I don't know if it's a good idea or a bad idea.
It's a good idea. Let me see it.
Oh, well, it's invisible in this moment, so you gotta wait till we're visible. Let's go into this porthole. I'll give it to you if we make it through. Maybe.
Oh, we'll make it through. I'll make it through.
So the scene is, Tony, you are stumbling down, as though dragged, stumbling down, nearly falling over these stairs leading down towards this pool that's completely frozen with the frozen bodies of 12 standing acolytes around it, two of which have their heads blown off. Talking to yourself, to a voice that sounds like Nord's, emphatically going back and forth about your plans.
Yeah, but he's got a book.
And it totally makes sense. This is certainty. There's nothing wrong with this.
Yeah, I can read the writing on the page.
As you guys get down to the pool. All right, Simon and Leah, action's on you guys.
I'm probably going to get down to the... How long are the stairs, like, approximately?
You mean how far is it?
Yeah, like, if I were to get to the bottom of the stairs, would I think that that's a far enough distance that I can at least turn around and look back, or would I feel that I need to run farther before turning around and looking back?
I think a better question is, how far do you want to go? I can tell you how far it is.
How far is it?
So from the top of the hill down the sort of, it's not winding hard, but it's following the terrain of the land, right, down to where the boats are, that's about a tenth of a mile. So it's not very far.
I will get down to that point to where I think that it may be safe to look back.
Yeah, running, it could take you like 2-3 minutes max. I mean, like,
okay.
Honestly, it'd take like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and you could okay. easily be at the bottom of it. Okay. As you turn and look, the hill is way up there. There's sort of the shadowy darkness, but it fades, and then it's just dark.
Okay, so nobody...
And no one's following you.
Okay, so I'm going to...
What's going on?
I don't know. I'm just trying to make sure you're safe.
Well, thanks, but what's going on? Did you see her kind of shaking, and she giggles a little bit? Also, are they still on the boat? Who's on... No one's on the boat. We could steal the boat.
Yeah, that's what I was planning on doing, but it doesn't look like anybody else is coming right behind me. So we may go ahead and clear the boat and see if it's okay, and I may put you in the lower portion. That way you can catch a quick nap or something.
I can't go to sleep. Did you see that woman?
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm trying to get you safe.
What do you do?
Because the boat's closed, so I'm gonna go ahead and head to the. I'm gonna slowly approach the boat and see if any of the acolytes are still on it.
Do you bid anything?
Yes, I will bid. I'll bid vigilante.
Describe how you do all this.
Okay, so as I'm saying this to Mariah, when we're getting closer, I'm going to be like, now let's go into our secretive voices. And I will start.
Okay.
And I'll come at the front of the boat, where so that way I'll hopefully be obscured by the cabin and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly start to work my way around and duck down to where I can barely see over the top and go slowly like this, so that way I can scan the boat as we come or along the side, so I'm scanning across the boat like this to around the back of the boat back up to where the cabin was to see if there's anybody on the deck at first, and then if it's clear, then I'll get up into it and check the under part down below.
As you're moving around, you hear the creaking of the boat and the buoys and whatnot going against the dock. You look down and can see the water has a thin sheet of ice on it. So it's not solid. The boat could probably make it through. As you slowly move onto the dock, it's completely frozen. Getting away even to this little bit from the island, away from the canopy of the trees and some of the shelter it was giving you from the storm, it's getting colder and colder. It's probably 10 degrees outside. There's a wind coming off Lake St. Clair, dark, dark clouds, heavy snowfall that's piling up on the frozen parts of the water. You look out, see the lighthouse is on still, and you can see the mounds of snow. There's probably 6-8 inches already all over the place. As popping up and looking on the boat, seems abandoned. Mariah is shaking furiously next to you, and she's like pushed up against and kind of underneath your coat.
Okay. So I will go ahead and get onto the boat and start to clear out the under section. And then what? Okay, so we're going to get in here. I'm going to
get really cold, Simon.
I know. I'm going to get you down here under where it's warmer, and hopefully there'll be some blankets and stuff to get you warm.
As she nods, you get onto the boat, look in the cabin. There's no one in there. It is completely abandoned.
Okay. I will take her down under there and, like I said, look for blankets and stuff so that
you
can get her warmer.
You do, and in fact, you find a bottle of whiskey. All right. Leah, action's on you.
Yeah, so I bid occultist to try and unravel what exactly it is she's saying.
What part of it?
the part about Eresh Kigal and
something strikes you. You realize that Eresh Kigal, known as the Queen of the Great Earth, and whomever is the Queen of Heaven, I don't know if you've actually found that name out or not. I think you guys have. These are titles. So a person can have multiple titles. What you realize is Onus, who is in love with Eresh Kigal, believes that the Queen of the Great Earth, Eresh Kigal, should also be the Queen of Heaven. She should be the ruler of all these things because she loves her. There is something else that strikes you. You know that Eresh Kigal is a mortal enemy of the Dark Dreamer, of Levas. And yet, Onus was the High Priestess of Levas. I'm not going to explain it further than that. You guys have to discuss. I know that's a windy plot, but it's a lot to unravel. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So Leah might, you know, put her hand on her chin and ponder for a second and say, so Levas cursed you because you fell in love with their mortal enemy?
Her eyes grow dark. She kind of bows her head a little bit. It is true, I betrayed my master.
Is there any way to...
But she would not have found out if it weren't for Lady Callie. That wench, that conniver who usurped me.
How long has Lady Callie walked to this earth, then?
There is a frightening look on her face as you realize the number is too long to know.
So then she's not trying to become immortal, because it sounds like she's at least functionally immortal anyway. She's merely trying to bring Levas into this world?
Immortality. As she kind of chuckles a little bit. What do you think it is? Comes with a price. For Lady Callie to continue, she must serve. But she is a conniver. There are plans. I know there are plans that she has.
Is there any way to lift your curse?
Not from here. But there's a way to stop Lady Callie. She arches an eyebrow. Have you heard of the Book of the Awakened?
No, I don't think so.
Libro Revelas. It was split in two. One. Half of it an alchemist stole. The other, someone who fancies themselves a mystic. This book allows the sacrifices to be made. The red writ, the ethos. Can be garnered. As she starts like kind of going on in a maybe not circular logic, but funky sounding terms. The same kind of stuff that you've heard Nord talk about when he's muttering about his potions and such.
Turning lead into gold and such. I'll call back to something that I did at the very beginning of the game, which is weird to think it's been a long time ago at this point. She'll actually reach in her pocket and pull out the copy of the red writ that she drew after she first saw it. And how far away is Onus at this point from me?
She's about 15 feet.
Okay.
She's moved.
So Leah will go ahead and close the rest of the distance and hand her the copy of what she wrote down of the red writ.
Walking up to this woman, you realize that she is actually only about 5'4". And yet her presence is enormous. As you hand her this copy, she looks down at it. Then you've seen Libro Revelos. Leah, you're entwined in Onus's aura. Simon, you have secured a place for Mariah on the boat. She's all bundled up, like a little igloo of blankets and such. And you found some Wishka. Nord and Tony, you found yourselves at the icy pool where the temple is and the glyph. There is a rumble underneath your feet, very similar to what you experienced before. A few minutes after which the void monster came at you, as you realize likely another one is coming or is attempting to get into this world. Am I freezing right now?
No, you are fine. No. It looks like Andrea's frozen.
Okay.
What? You got the book? You're muted.
You are muted.
You got to come in through this. You got to come in through this porthole with me. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but I'm kind of hoping it'll work. Are we at where the glyph is?
Yeah.
And you can read this.
It says burned mark in the shape of essentially a funky looking pentagram. Andrea's back.
What happened? Was that just me?
That was just you. You whooped out. I'm a little concerned that we can't leave yet, because if we do, I think more of these creatures will come and get us.
You mean like the thing that busted through the ice earlier to try to grab my leg?
Yeah, like that thing. So like I feel like I'm gonna give you this book, but you gotta wait until we're like, I don't know, in range. And Nord, and I will quickly unzip my pants and pee an arrow pointing to the glyph. Because I probably have to pee.
It's exactly what
we need to go this way. I'm invisible, so he can't see it.
Yeah, but the pee.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Is it dark outside?
Yeah.
Then I don't see it.
I'm glad that you say this. However, you get a pip for living in the narrative, but down here, there is an ambient blue glow coming from beneath the glass and the ice, and there are tiki torches.
I was going to say, you said that my urine would glow blue. or defecation, one of the two.
It's up to you, man.
I'll spend a narrative point to say that my urine glows blue.
Yeah. Turns out, invisibility potions make your pee blue. Kind of like when you take what is that shit? It's that vitamin. Vitamin B12 or whatever.
Okay, anyway. Okay. Okay, Nord, I get it. I'll wait till you're pissed off before we go.
Well, I just needed to relieve myself. I think when we get in there, you know, it's going to be hot. I hand him the book. If you read this before we start, I mean, I don't know how you do it, but I think if you read this, any of this shit out loud, it's go time. I don't know what any of this stuff means, but if you have a flashlight, I don't know if you need to look and... what language is this in? I don't know.
We said it prior.
It was in Esperanto.
It's in Esperanto. So it's in Guar.
You know, it's in what he said. Guar. It's in Guar. So, like, I think we just go in this thing hot. You know, you clearly have this mystical ability, and we can't let it go. More of those monsters are gonna come. So let's, I think this is a doorway. You coming?
Yeah. Escribas amici Libron.
Right. You should wait to read it until we get in there out loud.
It sounds like he just did read it. So, what do you bid, Tony?
I bid. By the way, do these bids kind of come back after I've, you know, died?
They're just what they are when you did die.
Okay.
They get back on flare, which is 10 or higher on a die, or at the next scene.
All right.
I'm going to spend cunning.
Well, actually, it's the player turn right now.
Yeah, okay. Never mind.
I will bid... I'll bid too much time in the seminary stacks.
All right. As you read this book aloud, Nord, you say all this to him, and Tony immediately whips open the book and starts reading it.
That's all right. Let
it. You cast a spell. Hey, Tony, roll me a d6. This is a chaos die.
That's a 4.
Hey, that's a success.
Nice.
So, this is how magic works. It's based off your intention. Now, the hilarity of this is Tony doesn't quite know what the spell is, but he can read, he can understand what he's saying. So the question is, what is your intention? This is what it says. The little bit that you just happened to read in the middle, like the first paragraph you saw. It says, a horror. However, that's dark and very real, looms ominously over even the most brazen of arcanists. They know that someday they might peer too deeply, touch something too fearful, or worse, become entangled in the between. And that would be their story. Gazing into the void. And then that's the little snippet you got. So what is your intention as you read these words? You see the runes lift off the page in front of you, hovering there like a time bomb. You have to do something with it, or it's going to explode in your face.
Open up this portal.
I'll send those runes back to the lake.
What do you want them to do?
I want them to go back to the lake and seal it up.
All right. As Nord, you see the runes form a word. There's a bright light of ultraviolet light. It's a black light.
Ooh.
And this low sound that thrums. As the lake, since your intention was for the lake to be remade, all the cracks seal up with this purple ice. As to remake the lake, since you're not very clear about this intention, the lake will be remade into what it was before you froze it. As you see, the ice is gone, and now it's just water, although with this purplish tinge. The rest of you feel this THX style bass thrum out. Onus turns. Leah, you see her smile, almost with pride. Accents on you guys.
No, we're supposed to shut the freaking porthole at the bottom of the lake, not unfreeze it.
Well, it's not there.
We don't want more of the monsters coming through. Can you read another one? Maybe that'll... Like, I think you're just... Like, you just made it easier to get through the ice.
I'll read another. I turn the page.
All right, the rest of you?
How might I get more power so I could fight Lady Callie?
You wish
for
power.
Or at least
power.
For minions. I wish for the strength to protect the people I care about.
Onus regards you. She kind of cocks her head, looking up at you, wondering what to make of you. What do you bid?
Oh, let's see. For this,
remember, be
one,
intentional.
Yeah. Oh, that's the question. So the real question is, what do I have left that is good for this? I will bid my demeanor, which is serious. Actually, okay, I'll take that back. I will actually bid... I'll bid my fate as a trait, not as, you know, bidding my fate.
Yep.
Which is the fool.
Hmm. Bidding the fool. Onus regards you. Strength. Everything has a cost. What are you willing to sacrifice for the strength? As you realize, on some level, since you're connected with her, her fate is also the fool.
I don't know what I have much to offer. I kind of imagine at this point my soul is rather damned anyway.
Simon, action's on you. We're gonna get back to Leah.
is the hull of the ship, does it feel warm, like, or is it cold, just as cold,
oh, it's cold
as outside?
It's cold.
Cold as outside. Okay.
It's sheltered from, you know, the wind and the such, wind. But it's yeah. still, you know, the boat's been off. You could turn the boat on.
I'm going to go check the gas, see yep. how much gas is in the, and if I have a, if there's an abundance, then I'll turn the boat on to try and warm it.
Yeah, it's almost full.
Okay, then I'll go ahead and turn the boat on, to warm it up.
You guys hear a boat engine start up, for Nord and Simon, Nord and Tony, it's a little bit distant. Nord and Tony, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you reading another one? Read the one where it seals up the hole to, like, hell. Read that one. Maybe,
is there a table of contents little... to this thing? Maybe an index?
I don't know. I don't speak Esperanto, but I'm going to bid... I wish I had my other character.
These weird occult books don't normally have a table of contents and... contents and index and an index.
I'm gonna bid Nord's book
that the Dreadlord book that you can purchase has a table of contents and an index. Okay, just so you know, back to the game. Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna bid Nord's sense.
Yeah,
and to activate a sense of colors.
Uh huh.
To try and help Simon. Flip to the right page that might help us shut the porthole to hell that or, you know, something.
Bidding Nord sense, first you see that there is a pigment or two in the air. One of them is gray ash. One of them is violet. As you can almost see the vapor trail of this energy from the crack that is opened, and it leads down into the water. And now you can actually see through an entrance underneath the water, or within the water, into the sunken temple. And you know, to seal this, you're going to have to be there.
I think we gotta go down there and read the book, Tony.
Okay, but I mean, I'm just gonna flip to a random page and tell.
No, not yet. It's not time yet. You gotta do this at the right time. You can't just read it anytime. This thing is powerful magic. You gotta wait till we get to the right place and have intent, I think.
Intent?
Well, I mean.
I
we gotta get in the water. It's like baptism, but, you know, the opposite. You've done that before. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just we gotta go down deep for this spiritual shit to work, is all I know.
What are we gonna have, like, a wait? You're not proposing that we do a Protestant style baptism, are you?
That's not where
we didn't do that.
I don't know. I just know that we have to take a swim and we got to be underwater for this thing to work.
Well, then the book's got to be underwater.
Well, it's a magic book. Maybe it's fine. Why don't we step into this little porthole, see where it takes us? I don't know. I don't know what we do. This is way beyond where I'm at as a human.
Hold on. No.
But no. I just have... No, seriously, I have the feeling we gotta go
this
down
isn't
deeper.
Way beyond, this it. Book is not way beyond where you're at as a human. The fact that you are invisible, I'd say that qualifies.
Well, that's true. But we need to go in the water. And we need to go down to that entrance. See that little building down there? That's where need to be. Those monsters are going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming if we don't shut this door to hell.
Look, if we do this and it works, I'll admit, you know a lot about the occult. I could probably learn something from you.
Yeah. Good. I'm invisible, dude. Like, if this works, we got a ton more book reading and stuff to do after this.
I like the sound of that. And I walk down towards the building.
Well, it's underwater.
Yeah, we gotta swim down there.
I gotta be honest. I kind of wonder if I'm gonna melt if I go back and go in there.
You'll be fine.
We'll see.
All right, back up to Leah. Onus, still regarding you curiously, what is it that you would have me do?
Oh, I'm just looking to get a nudge in the right direction.
You're not answering my question. What do you want?
Information, I guess, of how to get more power?
What does this mean? Power. Power over what?
Power. Something to fight Lady Callie with.
There are many ways to fight her.
Maybe that means, I don't know if she's a priestess of the void or whatever, then maybe I need light. I don't know.
She has a mastery of the scroll of the void, as well as a number of other magics. I could give you a protection, if that's what you mean. As for knowledge, she feeds off of the energy of others. Being around her is dangerous. She will use your own ethos against you, draw it from you like a siphon.
Would this protection help me with that?
She kind of smiles. For a time, depending on how strong you are. As she'll take off a necklace, and it has a little figurine of a serpent. Like a serpent lady. You've seen this kind of thing before. And she says, this token will give you some protection. But the real protection, as she points at your forehead and taps you there. G.I. Joe!
We stumbled upon a bookshop of someone who at least fancied himself an alchemist. I wonder if there might be more knowledge to be gained there.
I don't know.
Don't know how to fight her. Don't know how to make it. I don't know how to beat this. She's marked my daughter. I don't know if literally or if she's just her next target.
Then it is imperative that you find the two halves of the Book of the Awakened. That can lift this curse.
The alchemist you said that had one half, do you know who they were?
I only know this person's name, but I don't know who it is.
What's
they
the
were
name?
A traveler. Grimwald.
Oh. Well then, he is the very
He's the very man I was speaking of, whose bookshop we stumbled upon. Although I've already killed him.
Bringing death and judgment.
He seems confused by the fact that Abigail, the one who was the unwilling, had been able to protect herself from the curse, from being raised.
There are many magics. The circle of runes, seals of binding and protection. Although in this world, that knowledge is few and far between.
Is it possible she had somehow found the other half of the book?
I don't know. I don't know of this Abigail. As I said, I simply saw your friend cross my path, as fate would have it. Speaking of, Holker, what is your fate? What is Tony's fate?
To be a bitch. No.
My fate is the lovers.
Indeed. As fate would have it, our paths crossed. Perhaps to draw me closer to the one I love. Even if it's forbidden. As she turns, I cannot help you anymore. As she starts to walk away, she turns back. There's a look of sympathy on her face. I can heal your wounds. As she takes her staff and points it at you. So you can allow her to do this or not. It's your choice. There is the potential of it fucking you up.
Yeah, no, I'll allow her to do it.
All right, roll a d6. This is a chaos die.
4.
That's a success. There is always a cost. Something does not come from nothing. As the gem, the prism, lights up, or just lights up, and you feel your wounds start to close, you roll a d4 plus 2, and that's how many wound sanity you gain. So whatever that number is, you can split between this.
Okay.
So I've got we'll give it 2d4 plus 2. She is like a big bad wizard. She should get 2d4.
Okay, so...
I remember you got proficiencies. If you do, then you can reroll.
No, that actually brings me up. That doesn't mess my plot armor, does it?
I mean, it can go all the way up into plot armor.
Okay, well, never mind. That makes me back to full on both the wounds and the sanity, so I'll just, yeah. Ooh.
How much did you regain?
A total of... let's see. Total of 9 points.
There's a cutscene of a man who is huddled up against the cold. He's rather sick. Maybe he's found like an apartment or something to squat in. As he's sitting there, all huddled up, and he's got like a deal of ramen or something, he grabs his chest, having a heart attack, as slumps over. As Onis, knowing this, all she does to betray it is a twitch of her lip. There's always a cost. As she starts to walk away back into the forest.
Thank you for your help.
I hope I don't send you to your deaths.
Well, it seems like we're on our way there either way, so at least you've given us a fighting chance.
She nods. I will stick around a while to see what happens.
Leah will put the as she's walking away, Leah will put on the necklace that she gave her.
All right. World action. You all are exactly where you are. Still, nothing else has changed. The bad guys are going to go. There's a rumble. And a sort of sucking feeling, like the drain on a tub of water has started to be pulled. Some of the water before you two, Tony and Ward, just slightly starts stirring. All right, player turn. What are you guys doing?
Leah starts heading back towards the beach.
Okay.
Where, yeah.
Leah, you get to the beach and you're at the boat.
Simon, I think we've been closer to the answer than I think we found partly, at least a way to get part of the answer a long time ago. Grimwald's bookshop.
First off, I'm glad you're still alive.
Oh, yeah. She ended up being a lot nicer than maybe she might have seemed.
Oh, it wasn't like the other one when things got dark?
No. She gave me this amulet, and Leah will hold it out to protect me. She said it won't work for very long, but at least it's something.
You hear Mariah. How do you know it's good?
Well, I mean, I suppose I don't in the end, but if it'll protect me from Lady Callie, that's at least it's better than her.
She kind of runs up and looks at it. She's cloaked in lots of comforters. It's a snake lady, Mom.
Yeah, that's true. The snake means many things, my love. The snake, yes, was in the serpent in the Garden of Eden that betrayed humanity and tricked him. That's true. But have you ever looked and noticed the symbol on the medical buildings?
No.
It is two entwined snakes around a staff.
It's a snake?
Yeah. Snakes are symbols of evil sometimes, yes, but they can also be symbols of healing.
So what did you learn? Where are the other two?
I don't know. They ran off about the same time you did, so I don't really know where they went to.
Speaking of, Nord and Tony, what y'all doing?
We're getting in the water. Come on. It's now or never. More of these things are going
to
come
through.
Take
me to the river.
Oh. All right.
Drop me in the water.
Well, let's get one thing clear. Even though I'm immersing myself in this water completely, and even though I'm kind of a dropout from the priesthood, this don't mean I'm Protestant.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. So I
won't judge you. No judgment from me, buddy.
Fine. I'll do this. I'll read the book. I'll go in the water, just like you said. All right.
We got to get into this little hut underwater.
Here it goes.
As you guys stand on the edge of this pool for like 10 straight minutes looking at it.
I'm going to bid a tunnel vision, which is a flaw, and pull Tony along with me.
So you jump in. It is cold. Although, not nearly as cold as you might think. Still, it takes the breath away. It's like jumping in the Pacific. It's a good like 65. Nice chilly. Your ball sacks are pulled into your bodies.
Like an elephant.
Clenched buttholes. As
already there.
You jump in. Sploosh. Yeah. Nord, you've bit what?
Tunnel vision, because my mind is set. It's a flaw.
As you are kicking straight down, holding on to Tony, dragging him. Assuming that Tony is not swimming, it's a little bit harder to go straight down because he's like, you know, dead weight. Tony, yeah. Are you trying to swim?
Dead weight.
Are you swimming?
I'm gonna try.
Then you need to bid.
All right. I will bid.
Found me in the water.
I will bid hardened.
Yep. This is the swim. In the freezing cold water. Down, you two go. A good 15, 20 feet. The pressure is intense. It's not the worst thing in the world, but it's pretty intense. It's pushing on your heads, up into your nose. If you got a sinus infection, it's gonna hurt. As you find yourselves able to see because of that luminescence pouring out of this door, this stone post and lintel style door down here, and you see a room, small room, and there's steps that go up that seem to be, well, leading somewhere you can't see because you're still in the pool.
We'll go in there. I'll go in there.
All right. You both go in, swimming up, climbing up the steps. You come out of the water. As the pressure is keeping it down, you find yourselves on the steps in front of a great doorway. Doorway's a good 10 feet across. Two heavy set doors sit there. They have snake designs and designs from like the deep sea all around them. On either side, there's a female visage. It looks like two sisters, perhaps. There are two braziers. However, neither one are lit. It's cold and wet, and you hear the sounds of dripping of water. From behind the doorway, you hear the sound of chanting, and that luminescence is pouring out.
I think it's this chanting we might need to stop. Maybe have the book handy. Don't read it. I'm gonna follow the noise, and let me come ahead first. I'll give you a yell if it's.
I'll have
safe.
To take your word for it.
Because you can't
about
see.
All I got right now.
All right, I'm gonna
Nord,
enter ahead.
As you
I'm gonna
move forward.
Bit Snoop. To,
oh, nice.
To move forward.
Quietly.
I get attacked. You better be behind him. Hit him in the head.
I got you.
Nord, as you gingerly move forward, although you know, trying to take into account the fact that your body is covered in water. Tony, you can actually see the water rolling off of Nord, like in his hair, right. Dripping. Just a little bit of an outline where the water actually is. Clinging to his body.
I'm not completely nuts.
All right. Simon, what are you doing?
Hold on a second. Because I'm going to be talking to Leah.
Oh, okay.
Leah's gone right now.
Well, back on Nord and Tony.
Sorry. It looks like Piper just got her food.
Oh, sweet. Nord, you're moving up. You see these two massive doors. Tony, you're right behind. Action's on you guys.
I'm going to open the door quietly.
As you go to the door, you see they have two large knockers on either side. Do you do the left or the right?
Well, the right one, they never flip. Or no, it's the left one that they never flip up when you go to a... one of them there is always locked, so I'm going to do the right one.
Do you push or pull?
Does it look like a pull or a push door?
Well, it's one of those like knocker things, so it could be either one.
Oh, I'm going to pull.
All right. As you're like, dum, 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 it does not open.
Okay, then I'll push.
As you push, the door slowly opens. It is heavy. As you put your shoulder into it, slowly moving it, trying to be as quiet as possible. As it does, as it opens, a gust of warm, hot air blows past you. The smell of very ripe fruit and the sound of chanting is louder. Erish Kagel, Erish Kagel, Erish Kagel, Erish Kagel. Tony, as you start walking up, the two braziers, you smell oil first. You see a spark, and they both light into a blue flames that roar high 5-6 feet before dying down and staying at about a foot as heat is billowing off of them.
What? I'm going to follow Nord in.
All right. This is a good moment because we need to pop back over to Simon and Leah anyway. Let's take another break. I'm going to get some water because I'm thirsty. I'm going to use the bathroom. You guys want to do a 5 or a 10?
Let's do a 10.
We're going to do a 10-minute break.
We never not do those. All right. I'm going to do really quick. We got about an hour left. And we'll just do a 10-minute break. That's what we're going to do. Thanks, Couch Fire Media, for art and stuff. Thanks for Tuari Blay Productions for all of that story element things. Thank you to our Patreons. Members Tim Roberts, Daniel Holker, Nostalgic, and thank you to our cast, Bill, Andrea, Daniel, Drizzle, and Ken. Score tonight, which you're gonna about to hear, is by All Lowercase Letters. Sometimes Mr. Interrupt will be back in just a few minutes. Thanks for playing or hanging, being.